we started discussing the concept of Milsa Da'asi B'Kal V'Chomer Torach B'Kas of Lakra. Why are we discussing the concept of Milsa Da'asi B'Kal V'Chomer Torach B'Kas of Lakra? Because the Gemara was giving us explanations as to why the Torah has to tell us that an Amma Ivriya goes free on Dalet Amud Aleph. Why the Torah has to tell us that an Amma Ivriya goes free as a Bogeres when she's 12 and a half years old, if the Torah already told us she goes free as a Nara, she's 12 years old. If she's already free as a Nara, she will never still be a slave as a Bogeres, where she would have to go free as a Bogeres. So how does that make any sense, right? That's what the Gemara was trying to figure out. So the Gemara said, well, if you only would have been told one miut in the pasuk, you know, v'yatzachinam, or in kasef, one or the other, so you would have naturally assumed that a girl goes free at 12 and a half. We would not have known to apply ein kasef to a nara, if not for the fact that you have another drosh of v'yatzachinam that tells us about a 12 and a half year old girl, similar to tosha v'sachir, about the idea of an eved ivri, eating truma and eating kachim of his master. So had we not had two drushes, if you only would have had one drusha, you would have assumed, oh, it's probably just the guy who's kinyan shanim, who's only there for 6 years, that doesn't get to eat his master's stuff. But if he's there kinyan olam till yovel, probably that guy does. That's why I need two drushos, one to tell me that, first of all, the guy who's there for 6 years can't eat the master's kodesh, and second of all, even the guy who's there for 50 years can't eat the master's kodesh. It's a way of getting to that point. But the Gemara tells us, once we know that an eved, nirtza, is not allowed to eat his master's truma or his master's kachim, so milsa, so enochinami, once we know that, we can derive that an eved is only kanekin and shanim, also can't eat his master's truma, but milsa da asya b'kal v'chomer tarach v'kas of lakra. Even though something is derived from a kal v'chomer, the pasuk will say it sometimes. Now that seems like a very odd statement, that if I can derive it from a kal v'chomer, why would the Torah say? One of the things that are ingrained in us from the youngest age is that the Torah doesn't waste words. There are no wasted words in the Torah. Every word is important and meaningful and has something that you can learn from. But if I could have derived from a kal v'chomer, why then tarach v'kas of lakra? Isn't that a waste of words? Isn't the Torah just wasting its words? So the truth is, in our Gemara, I did not get a chance to search around Shas to see where this concept comes up. It says Psachim Yud Beis V'Shamner, and you can check over there on the side of the page, Psachim Yud Chesam Beis rather, and you can check over there and see where else comes up in Shas. So Shas points over here. But in our context, this would not be a kasha at all. Because in our context, we're not saying that I actually would have known this din from a kal v'chomer, and still the pasuk is saying it to me. What's happening in our context is we're saying, I need the pasuk to tell me both the din of the kana kinyan shanim and the kana kinyan olam. Elamai, once I have both of those drashos, and I already know that a kana kinyan olam doesn't eat truma, of course a kana kinyan shanim doesn't eat truma. But the pasuk had to say it, because if the pasuk didn't say it, I never would have drawn the conclusion that a kani kinyan olam doesn't eat truma in the first place. So milsa da'asi b'kal v'chomer means something that post facto is asi b'kal v'chomer. Something that now that I have all the drushas, I could say, oh, now that I got to the end point, I could say, oh, some of the earlier stops along the way are a kal v'chomer. But tarach b'kas v'lakra, the pasuk actually had to get me to that point. The pasuk had to mention all of those points in order to get me to the end point. So it's not that the Torah is wasting words. The Torah is saying something unnecessary. I would not have been able to derive that kal v'chomer without the Torah leading me the whole way, without the Torah expressing all of it explicitly. So this application of milsa da'asi b'kal v'chomer tarach b'kas v'lakra is not particularly troubling. Meaning, because in this context, it doesn't mean that I actually would have been able to derive it from a kal v'chomer. I wouldn't have. We would not have any way to derive it from a kal v'chomer. But in general, it's an issue. In general, when milsa da'asi b'kal v'chomer tarach b'kas v'lakra generally means something that I really, had the Torah never said it, I really could have entirely learned the din from a kal v'chomer, and still the Torah is going to say it sometimes, that's something that is tzarich iyun a little bit. We need to be ma'ayin, and tzarich iyun not in the sense that we're going to leave it as a question, meaning we need to be ma'ayin and we need to figure out, why is that? Why is it that the Torah would waste the words to write that which I could have figured out from a svara? So this kind of topic is a very enjoyable topic to me. I love this. Rav Shecht is like very into these kinds of, klaliyistika topics. You know, just understand how Torah Shebal Peh works. To understand how Torah works, how Torah Shebal Peh works, things that are not like a given sugya in Shas. It's just about how the whole system works. They published, Rav Shecht gave shiurim on the transmission of Torah Shebal Peh. They started publishing those shiurim in a book form. They're going to come out with, hopefully soon, the full book. They published some of them. Really beautiful stuff, just on how the Torah works. So the first address to look at, if you want to know these kinds of rules, is the Prima Gadim and the Pesich HaKalelas. I mentioned the other day, the Prima Gadim and the Pesich HaKalelas, in the back of the Shulchan Aruch is about 12 pages. In the back of Shulchan Aruch, it's now a three-volume Sefer. Each volume is this fat, because the Prima Gadim wrote in shorthand. So there's the footnotes and giving all the marmakomos that he's quoting in full. So someone did a really nice job of showing what the Prima Gadim meant with every line and every word of the Pesich HaKalelas. But in that first paragraph of Pesich HaKalelas, we could probably say 2-3 hours of shiurim just on that first little paragraph of the Pesich HaKalelas. So beautiful, beautiful presentation Prima Gadim has. And he points out in the Pesich HaKalelas that while we are used to thinking of Torah as Dinim Daraisa and Dinim Drabanan, and we think that all Daraisas are the same and all Drabanans are the same, that's in fact not true. That there are Dinim Daraisa that are Torah Shebichsav, and there are Dinim Daraisa that are Torah Shebal Peh. And there may be nafkaminas between that which is Torah Shebichsav and that which is Torah Shebal Peh. And if there are nafkaminas between that which is Torah Shebichsav, that which is Torah Shebal Peh, you understand very well why Milsa da Asya Bekal V'chomer, Tarach V'kasav Lakra. Meaning, if it were Asya Bekal V'chomer, that would put it squarely in the camp of Torah Shebal Peh. That's something that we have to derive using the Midrash HaTorah and Drash Ben. Tarach V'kasav Lakra means the Pasuk says it. That would put it more in the camp of Torah Shebichsav. So if there are differences between that which is derived from Torah Shebal Peh and that which is derived from Torah Shebichsav, you understand why Hashem will say, I know you could have learned this through Torah Shebal Peh, but I wanted to upgrade it and make it part of Torah Shebichsav. So we're going to have to see what those nafkaminas might be. There's a Tosfos in Masechet Shavuos and Daf Chav Beis and Beis. The Gemara in Shavuos and really other places as well in Shas has an expression, Iba Yisema Svara, Iba Yisema Kra. And how do I know a din? Well, I could have derived it from a Svara, or I could derive it from a Pasuk. And yet, the Gemara Baba Kama Daf Mem Vav has another expression that seems to fly in the face of that expression, Lamali Kra Svarahu. Why do I need a Pasuk? It is a Svara. So, which is it? Is it that whenever it's a Svara, I don't need a Pasuk, and the Pasuk is totally useless and it's totally extra? Or is it Ibai Seim Akrai, Ibai Seim Svara? One or the other is fine. So Tosus asks that stira in the sugyas, and Tosus says maybe it depends on how strong the Svara is. That if it's a super strong Svara, it's a Kal V'chomer, Sheinel of Tshuva, it's something that's a super strong Svara, so then maybe you would say, Lamali Kras Svarahu. I don't need a Pasuk, it's a Svara. Now wait a second though. So one second, let's say, but if it's a weaker Svara, then you would say Ibai Seima Kra, Ibai Seima Svara. Then you would not say Lamali Kras Svaru. You would say that even though there's a Pasuk, still there's a Pasuk to say it. Tosfos is assuming, though, that the only difference is the strength of the Svara. But when you have a super strong Svara, it is every bit as strong as a Pasuk. Well, wait a second. Why is a very strong Svara every bit as strong as a Pasuk? Because it's Dindaraisa. Svara creates a Dindaraisa. Super strong Svara creates a Dindaraisa. Kal V'chomer is one of the Midrash HaTorah and Drash Ben. That creates a Dindaraisa. One could have argued, as we just pointed out, that if there are differences between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, then even by a super strong Svara, we shouldn't say that Lamali Kras Svarahu, because you would still need a Pasuk to upgrade it to the status of Torah Shebichsav. Unless you understand that a super strong Svara that emerges from Torah Shebichsav is itself Torah Shebichsav. Meaning, maybe we're just not defining terms properly here. what is Torah Shebichsav and what is Torah Shebal Peh? You can't tell me Dinu Daraisa Torah Shebichsav and Dinu Darabana Torah Shebal Peh. That's not true. Shurun Chatzitzin Mechitzin Halachon Moshe Misinai. No remez to it in the Torah. Oh, remez, yeah, but no din in the Torah, no psukim about it in the Torah. It's clearly Torah Shebal Peh. These are Dinim Daraisa. So what makes something Torah Shebichsav and what makes something Torah Shebal Peh? There's an odd machlokes in the Gemara in Gittin Daf Samachem Beis. Gemara in Gittin Prim Gadim, it's the first Maramakom in the Psicha Kolelos, because it's like, it's the basis of all this kind of discussion. Gemara in Gittin Daf Samachem Beis has machlokes Tanaim. Tanaim were sitting around one day debating, what's the majority of Torah? Is the majority of Torah Torah Shebichsav, or is the majority of Torah Torah Shebal Peh? Rabbi Lazar says Rov Torah is Torah Shebichsav, Mi'uta Al Peh. The minority is Torah Shebal Peh. And Rabbi Yochanan says no, Rubo Al Peh, Mi'uta Bichsav. The majority is Torah Shebal Peh. The minority is Torah Shebichsav. Who's right? Meaning, if I would ask you, who would you? What would you have thought? Well, let's just take a look. We have, most of Kol HaTorah Kula behind us here on the back wall of the Beis Medrash. So, this entire section is Torah Shebal Peh, as is that section, as is the section after it. The section after that is the Chumash section, which is about 95% Torah Shebal Peh. Right? So, isn't it obvious that there's more Torah Shebal Peh than there is Torah Shebichsav? You have machlokas about... So what's the majority? Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh? Very difficult. Misvara Pshuta, Torah Shebal Peh is the vast majority. What are they arguing about? Did they not know? No one let them in on the secret? Go into any base medrash and you'll see right away. So Rashi on the spot says, no. They're arguing about the definition of Torah Shebal Peh. They know that there's more, if you were to add up all the Midrash HaTorah and Drash HaSban and then all the dinim that are learned from the Midrash HaTorah and Drash HaSban, so that's going to be the majority. But how do you categorize things that are learned from the Midrash HaTorah and Drash HaSban? Kicha kicha misteyafram. You have a gzera shava, it tells you, take the word, kach mimani, kach by steyafram, take the word, ki yikach ishisha, yikach by kiddushin, really getting by Kiddushin, and link the two, and now you know that you can be Mekadish Nisha with Kesef. Is that Torah Shebichsav or is that Torah Shebal Peh? Rashi says that's what they're arguing about. On the one hand, you can say it's Torah Shebichsav because it's learned from words in the Torah. On the other hand, would you have figured that out on your own? Without a Torah Shebal Peh, that you take that word and connect them, and it says Vayomer 1,000 times in the Torah. So you're going to connect all those also? Obviously not. You need a Torah Shebal Peh, you need a Mesorah to Darshan a Gzeira Shava. Parenthetically, it's interesting. There are three ways of doing Kiddushin that we learned in the first Mishnah. Kesef, Shtar, Bia. How do we know Kesef? Gzeira Shava, Kicha, Kicha, Misteyafram. How do we know Shtar? So the Gemara is going to say a Hekish, Havaya Liyatziah. If you get divorced with the Shtar, you can get married with the Shtar. How do I know Kesef? Sorry, I just said Kesef. How do I know Bia? Pasuk says Uvala. Beferish in the Pasuk. So three types of Kiddushin. Not just three different sources, three different types of sources. One's a Gzeir Shava, one's a Hekish, and one's Beferish in the Pasuk. Some of those might be Torah Shebichsav, some of those might be Torah Shebal Peh. Even within the methods of Kiddushin, they're all Doraisa. But some might be Torah Shebichsav, some might be Torah Shebal Peh. So says Rashi in Gittin Samachem Beis, the machlokes is whether drushos are Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebal Peh. You could argue that not all drushos are in the same category. Some drushos are Torah Shebichsav maybe, and some are Torah Shebal Peh. For example, the Rambam writes, very famously, first chapter of Hilchos Yishlah, Salacha Beis, Kiddushe Bia and Shtar are Daraisa. Kiddushe Kesef is Midivrei Sofrim, the Rambam says. So, Pasha translation, Midivrei Sofrim, sounds like he means Drabbanan. Kesef Mishnah says, no, if you don't know what the Rambam means, if you think he means Drabbanan. He doesn't mean Drabbanan when he says Midivrei Sofrim. It's not what he means. He means, how do I know Kiddushei Kesef? Where do I learn it from? From Gzer Shava. Kicha Kicha. That requires significant rabbinic input to figure it out. That's why he calls it Midivrei Sofrim. From the text, I never would have figured out Kicha Kicha Mistayefrim. It's only because of a Mesorah of a Torah Shebal Peh that I could figure out that's Midivrei Sofrim from Torah Shebal Peh. But wait, so Kiddushei Bia, I understand he's going to say that's Torah Shebichsav, that's Midaraisa. Because uvala, you can't get more explicit. It says, kikach ish isha uvala. Kicha is done by boel, by being boel here. I get that. But what about kiddushei shtar? Where does it say kiddushei shtar? V'yatzav ha'isa. It's a hekish. Makish havaya liyitzia. If you could be megarish with a shtar, you could be mekadish with a shtar. Is that Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebalpeh? So I would have thought that would be Torah Shebalpeh. But then why does the Rambam categorize that together with Kiddushei Bia as being Daraisa and Kiddushei Kesef as Midivrei Sofrim? If the words Midivrei Sofrim simply mean it's Torah Shebalpeh, then shouldn't Kiddushei Shtar also be Torah Shebalpeh? Unless the Rambam says that not all the Yud Gimel Midas Shatar and Joshua Ben are put in the same category. Some of the Midas Shatar and Joshua Ben are more closely emerge from the Psukim, and some are long shots to really come out of the Psukim. And you really need a Mesorah to even have an inkling that something is supposed to come out of these Psukim. So for example, the Rambam would say, you read the pasuk Uva Allah. Okay, it's straight out of the pasuk Kiddushei Bia. No question, that's Torah Shebichsav. V'yatzav v'haisa l'shachir. V'yatzav v'haisa. Wow, back to back words. The Torah says V'yatzav v'haisa. I might be able to see that the Torah is trying to do something there. V'yatzav v'haisa. It's linking. I may not need a Mesorah to figure out that the Torah is trying to do something there. You could see that the Torah is trying to draw your attention to something over there. Is it as blatant as Uvala? No, not as blatant as Uvala. But it's something that emerges from the words right there on its own. Mimela, the Rambam will say, that's also Torah Shebichsav. But Kicha, Kicha, Mistei Efron. In a million years I wouldn't have made that connection. That clearly I needed a Torah Shebal Peh to make such a connection. The Rambam says, yeah, that's Midivrei Sofrim. I'll prove to you that there isn't just Kiddushei Bia Midaraisa. That Kiddushei Shtar and Kiddushei Kesef have to be Daraisa. They have to be Daraisa. When we say that they're Torah Shebal Peh, when the Rambam calls one of them Midivrei Sofrim, he doesn't mean mitarabana. No, these are definitely Daraisa. But they're drushes Daraisa, so that makes them Torah Shebal Peh. How do you know that it's definitely Daraisa? It's obvious. The Torah says that someone who's Baal and Nara Murasa is Chayev Skila. What does it take to be a Nara Hamurasa? If you're Baal and Nara Murasa, Chayev Skila. What does it take for a girl to become a Nara Hamurasa? Well, she needs to be a Nara, okay. And she needs to be Me'orasa. She needs to have Erisin with somebody. You know what else she needs to be in order to be an Aram Rasa that you have skill for? A Basula. She needs to be a Basula. How did she have Erisin? Kiddushei Bia? Well, then she wouldn't be a Basula. So what's the Torah assuming? Ah, Kiddushei Kesef or Kiddushei Shtar. Neither of those are mefurish in the Torah, though. Those are both one Kiddushei Shtar from a Hekish, Kiddushei Kesef from Gzeres Shava. Neither is mefurish in the Torah. But mefurish in the Torah is that such a concept exists. Is that there is some other kiddushin other than kiddushin bia. Otherwise, how do you have an arim rasa? The only way you could have an arim rasa. So it has to be, it has to exist. Even the words of the Torah, it has to exist. So it is part of the Torah. It's a din d'oraisa. But it's Torah Shebal Peh. There are a lot of places in Shas where the Gemara says Afkinu Rabbanan L'Kiddushin Mineh. Five different places in Shas. Afkinu Rabbanan L'Kiddushin Mineh. Gittin Daf Lam Gimel, Ksubas Daf Gimel, Babasra Daf Mem Ches. Gemara talks about a guy does Kiddushin in a way that is off the wall and unacceptable. That's the case of Babasra. Till you have a Kaddish. Instead of impressing a girl and dating her and showing her what nice midos he has and how he's gonna, you know, be a good husband and a good father and whatever and wanting, you know, getting her to want to marry him, he instead takes a different tactic. He says to me, "Can you go there? Step right there." And she steps there. Boom! He has set up a trap, and now she's hanging from a tree upside down. And he says, "I'm not gonna let you down until you accept kiddushin from me. So you have a kaddish." So that's not the yeshivish thing to do. That's not a Ben Torah shouldn't act that way. So we say, Afkinu Rabbanan L'Kiddushin Mineh. Rabbanan say that such a Kiddushin, no good. We don't allow. We don't allow for such things. Or sometimes the Kiddushin was done well, but there was an issue with the get, and the get, he wanted to be Megarisher, but there was an issue with the get. So the Rabbanan say, okay, the get works. Afkinu Rabbanan L'Kiddushin Mineh. Different places in Shas. So what does the Gemara ask? Ha, teinach kaddish bekaspa, kaddish bebiya ma'ikal meimar. I understand very well if you're mekaddish with kesef, you could say afkinu rabbanan l'kiddushin mineh. This money is money. You can go back and forth, and it can belong to whoever you want. And after bezin, after you can do whatever you want with money. Kaddish bebiya ma'ikal meimar. How are you going to undo a bia? That's one way of understanding the Gemara's kasha, but it's not really clear what the Gemara is asking. Why? Why should they be different? Why are we only bothered of being by being mafkia kiddusha kasev, not a kiddusha bia? Zokt Rashi b'shem rabosav, because kiddusha kasev is midivrei sofrim. Since it's midivrei sofrim, it makes sense that Rabban could be mafkia kiddusha kasev. Kiddusha bia is not midivrei sofrim. Does Rashi mean to say that Kiddusha Kesef is Drabanan? Pashtos? No. Rashi was familiar with Kiddushin Daf Gimel and Kiddushin Daf Dalid. Rashi knew V'yatzachinam Ein Kesef, Ein Kesef Lodin Zel, V'yesh Kesef Lodin Acher. Rashi knew Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. He was familiar with where Kiddusha Kesef comes from. Probably it means like what the Kesef Mishnah says in that Rambam, that it's derived from a drasha. And because of that, it's midivrei sofrim in the sense that it's Torah Shebal Peh, that we need sofrim to teach it to us. It's Torah Shebal Peh. The drashas of the Torah are Torah Shebal Peh. So it's funny. According to the Rambam, it would turn out that a hekish is Torah Shebichsav, because the Rambam put Kiddushei Shtar in the same category as Kiddushei Bia. But Gezeru Shava, Kiddushei Kesef, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron, Gezeru Shava, that's only Torah Shebal Peh. There is a... Now, if I would have asked you, of the Yidgal Mishat Torah and Josh's Ben, are things derived from the Yidgal Mishat Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebal Peh? So it's already a leading question to ask that way. So I'm making an assumption, I'm already lumping them all together. I'm saying, things derived from the Yidgul Mishnah Torah and Drashas Peh. So you might have had an opinion one way or the other, but you likely would have answered the question, okay, they're all in the same category. But it's not pashut that they're all in the same category. Meaning this Rambam is not the greatest chiddush in the world, that you could have some Mishnah Torah and Drashas Peh which would be categorized as Torah Shebichsav and others that are categorized as Torah Shebal Peh. We find other chilukim between the Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Peh. There's a sugi Masechta Sukkah, Daf Chav Ches. The Gemara in Masechta Sukkah is a machlokes tanoim whether we're makish lulav v'esrog. Is there a hekish between lulav and esrog? And Rashi says that there's a machlokas where there is a mesora to be makish lulav la'esrog. Meaning, what does it mean? There's machlokas whether we link lulav to esrog. So Rashi says, because if you want to make a hekish, you can't just make a hekish. You can't just say, oh, v'yatza v'haisa, oh, look, those words are near each other, hekish. You're not allowed to do that. You need a mesora to make a hekish. Says Rashi. You need a mesora, Rashi says, to apply all of the Yud Gimli Shatar and Drash Ben, with only one exception. There's only one Midah Shatar and Drash Ben that you don't need a mesora, that you're actually allowed to make up on your own. And that is Kal V'chom. Because Kal V'chom is pure logic. Everything else is not logical. It's not, you know, something you would have figured out on your own. And therefore you need a Mesorah for every other of the Yud Gimel Mishnah Torah and Drash Ben. So Rashi writes. Tulsa says, no, the Gemara says, Ein Adam Dan Gzeira Shava Me'atzma. Because there's a shava you can't make on your own. You can't come up with kicha kicha mistea front on your own. Because that's totally illogical. Because mehechi tesi, in any language, in any document, there are going to be words that repeat themselves. Right? I could just quickly glance at a page of Gemara. The word dichsiv appears in Gimel Amud Beis in Maseches Kiddushin, and now I turn to any other daf, and I'll also find the word dichsiv on Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. I see the word dichsiv. Also, must be that the pasuk Laman Yirbu Yemeichem has what to do with the pasuk. No, it's ridiculous. That's the way language works. Of course, there's going to be overlap. There are going to be words that repeat themselves. Gzeirah Shavah doesn't make any logical sense. That you need a mesorah for. Says Tosfos, but the other midah shatar just spent. A hekish, for example, juxtaposition of two words. That makes sense that the Torah is trying to draw your attention to something by juxtaposing two things. All the other midah shatar just spent are logical. You don't need a mesorah. You take them and you apply them. You don't need a mesorah. So machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, whether the other midos shatar just spent need a mesorah or not. It's interesting. There's a rule, Ein Onshin Min Adin. We discussed a lot last year. We'll probably discuss a lot again this year. Ein Onshin Min Adin. What does Ein Onshin Min Adin mean? Can't punish based on Kal V'chomer. Why not? So there's a Vyas of Engel has a piece where I think he gives something like 12 reasons or 9 reasons that Ein Onshin Min Adin. Alpi Chasidus, Alpi Nigla, Alpi Nistar, you know, Vyas of Engel, Leibedik. Ein Onshin Min Adin. What's this simple svara why you can't punish based on the Kal V'chomer? Because what's a Kal V'chomer? What does a Kal V'chomer represent? That which is logical. I'm using my logic. I'm going to give someone Malkus or Misa or something like that based on my own logic. And then tomorrow you're going to come to Shir and say, but Rebbe, I have a kasha on yesterday's Shir. It doesn't make sense. Whoops. I guess we shouldn't have whipped that guy yesterday. You can't take it back. Like, oh, I feel bad about killing him now. Based on a logic, that's very risky. To give an onesh based on something that's logical. It'll come out a little funny, though. Machlokas Rashi Tosos here. Rashi will say, yeah, Kal V'chomer is the only logical one, the rest are not logical. Okay, so according to Rashi, I understand, Ein Onshin Min Adin is you can't punish based on the Kal V'chomer, and only a Kal V'chomer. The rest of them are not logic, they're based on a mesorah. They're based on, you know, some transmission that we have from Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. It's not my own logic. So good, you could punish. But according to Tosfos, that you're allowed to make your own midos, you're allowed to use the midos Shatar and Drash Ben, except for Gezeirah Shavah, on your own. You're allowed to apply them as liberally as you want, whenever you want, as long as it makes sense, as long as it fits. Make your own hekish. Make your own klal or prado klal. You could do them all logically. Why is it that Ein Onshin Min Hadin only, that you can't be punished based on the Kal V'chomer? Maybe we should say more broadly. Not just that you can't be punished based on the Kal V'chomer, they can't be punished based on any of the Midrash Shatar and Drash Ben except for Gezeirah Shavah. There actually is a discussion in the Rishon whether you can even be punished based on gzeirus shaver alone. Meaning, maybe ein onesh minadin doesn't just mean kal v'chomer. Maybe it means you just can't be punished based on the midas shatar and justice ban. So the yibgul midas shatar and justice ban. But this is the discussion: what's Torah shebichsav and what's Torah shebal peh? Git and daf samach is rov Torah shebichsav or is rov Torah shebal peh? May depend on how we categorize it. So while we have a taiva to say, okay, like Rashi said in Gittin, midas shatar and justice ban, they're either all Torah shebichsav or they're all Torah shebal peh. It could be that we come down somewhere in between. That some of them are Torah shebichsav, some of them are Torah shebal peh. What I want to talk about tomorrow is if you look at that Prima Gadin, the first, it's really all in the first paragraph. It's unbelievable. Six of them are in the first paragraph. The seventh one is a few paragraphs later. Seven nafkaminas between Torah shebichsav and Torah shebal peh. And Imamish takes you on a tour through Yedios, Klalios, and Shas. It's unbelievable. To chap what the nafkaminas even are. Seven nafkaminas between Torah shebichsav and Torah shebal peh. So maybe that will be tomorrow's shiur. Try to go through the seven nafkaminas between Torah shebichsav and Torah shebal peh.